At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, what's up, Rugby Rant fans? It's the Hammer. I'm coming at you with another Run, Pass, or Kick episode. For those that are newly initiated, I'll explain what that is in a moment, but I want to welcome into the show our esteemed guest of honor, somebody that I've had the fortune of getting to know a little bit better this season, and that is, of course, from the Chicago Hounds, we've got Lucas Rumball. Lucas, how the hell are you, mate?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to it. I love the show.
Cool. Thank you very much. You and two other people watch, so we're very thankful at least somebody does. It's a longstanding joke. All the fans are probably tired of it. But nevertheless, before we get started and talk about how this works for the uninitiated, I just want to talk a little bit about Lucas's CV. From Markham, Ontario, which is just outside of Toronto, from what I understand, based upon one of our conversations recently.
Born in Markham.
Born in Markham.
Scarborough. So there's a little caveat there.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm sure some of the folks from Scarborough and Markham will appreciate that distinction. It's completely and totally lost on me because, you know, as far as anybody else knows, I was born in the, you know, Chicago metropolitan area, which is actually Milwaukee. All right. So nevertheless, of course, played professionally with the Toronto Arrows. Newly this year with the Chicago Hounds and, of course, Rugby Canada. Now, there's one thing I got to settle because Wikipedia is not always up to date just by its pure invention and nature. It says 35 caps. I'm not sure if it's caught up with you because of the most recent international caps. Is it 35 or 37?
It's 53, so it's actually a little bit off.
Wikipedia, you completely and totally suck. All right, so 53 caps. Man, that is an absolute stellar, mark there. I mean, you know, it's like they say, a good friend of mine, David Fee, a former Eagle, said, yeah, it's great to get one, but then the question is, are you good enough to get more than one? And clearly, Lucas Rumball has done his bit to demonstrate that he can certainly be one of those all-time capped Rugby Canada members, which I got to ask, by the way, do you know what who the most capped Canadian player is?
I think if my memory doesn't escape me, it's actually an old coach for the Arrows, Aaron Carpenter.
Really?
Yeah, who I've had the fortune of playing with and being coached by. So.
Really? Well, then if you do you know what that mark is by chance?
I think it's in the 80s or 90s. So okay. I got a little bit of a ways to go here. If the body.
You got a ways. You got a ways to go, but with the Pacific Nations Cup coming on very soon, right? Pacific Nations Cup is what it's now called, right?
Yeah.
Coming on pretty soon, and you know, with good luck and good health, you might get that. And I'm pretty sure Coach Carpenter would gladly bestow that honor upon you and be happy for you. So, nevertheless, and by the way, do you know what number Rugby Canada member you are?
I don't know my Rugby Canada number off the heart, to be honest.
Oh, really?
I can't think of what it is. Probably should have got it tattooed or something on me to remember.
Well, there's a couple of Eagles, and you might have played with a few at the Hounds, but a couple of Eagles, I think, have that number tattooed on them.
I've seen it floating around in a few dressing rooms. So
there you go. There you go. We won't ask how you stole that look. Now, did you make your debut in the Rugby World Cup in 2019? Is that right?
Or is it 2016, actually, against Uruguay. So
Uruguay.
A long time ago.
Okay. All right. Because I was going to say, when you took, I thought 35, maybe 2019, but that's a pretty far shot. But then when you said 53, there ain't no chance in God's green earth that you're reaching that with a 2019 debut. It'd have to go back a little farther. So Wikipedia, that's a double suck for you. We don't, no longer trust you whatsoever. No longer a reliable source. But nevertheless, for those who are uninitiated, because we got to get after this RPK, a run, pass, or kick works like this. I'm going to throw some questions at Lucas, and I'm going to prompt those questions with run, pass, or kick. And Lucas is going to indicate to you guys at home watching what he's going to do with the question. Is he going to run with it, which is to say he's going to answer it? Is he going to pass it, which is to say that he's going to go ahead and you know, shove that one off because he doesn't want to irritate his most favored fly half? Or is he going to kick the question to me, have a little fun with me, put me on the defensive, make me work a little bit, and then be able to, you know, grade me out, because I'm going to try to answer like I think he would answer. So he's got three options here. We're going to have a bunch of fun, and hopefully Lucas has fun because he's a pretty fun-loving guy. And we'll tap into that here with the first question, by the way. Nevertheless, Lucas, are you ready for the run, pass, or kick challenge?
I'm ready. I don't pass much, so we'll see how this goes.
All right. All right. With that being said, we're going to get right into it straight away. And I was speaking of fun-loving things, and we all know that everybody has that one parlor trick that they perform. Maybe they've had a few too many. Maybe it's just, you know, yucking it up with the boys. But nevertheless, I'm pretty sure you have a parlor trick that you've tapped into once in a while. Run, pass, or kick, what's your favorite parlor trick?
I'll run. I have very flexible, I guess, lower limbs, you would call it. I can turn kind of both feet facing the wrong direction and hold it in a way. So that would be my parlor trick, I guess.
Yeah, it was on the Hound socials. I happened to catch that, and I almost had to look away for a moment. So if folks, if you're listening and you want to catch it, it's definitely in the Hound socials on their Instagram account. But if you're a little faint of heart, you might want to pass on that one, because, man, I'm telling you, he does actually get those toes facing the ass way. So it's impressive. How did you discover that one, by the way?
Honestly, it was something I didn't really think of until my high school rugby coach was watching me play and run around. I run a little bit duck-footed, and he was concerned. So he sent me for x-rays into a sports doctor to get it looked at. And he basically said I was fine, but I wouldn't be a world-class sprinter anytime soon. So that's how I figured it out.
That's right. Does it help you, that flexibility help you at all when you're jackling?
Yeah, fair bet, I think. It's probably saved my knees from imploding a few times in a breakdown. It's just the way I can move and the positions I can get into that look uncomfortable, but actually aren't too bad for me.
Really, really. It is amazing work you do at the breakdown. And you know, we hope to see you do more of that as this fall season carries on, as the MLR season carries on in 2025. Talk a little bit about that later, but let's get to some serious questions. And I do want to, I think, tap into some of those questions that I think linger on. And I don't mean to, I'm not busting any organizations, balls, if you will, to use a cliche. But there are certain things I think in the MLR that are a little bit shrouded and veiled in secrecy. And a lot of fans want to know about it. And so I like to tap into how players, their experience and what they've seen from their eyes, because us mere mortals don't get a chance to see that. So obviously you made a professional debut with the owners, were there for several years, and owner Bill Webb was closely tied with Rugby Canada as well as being the owner to of the Arrows. So run, pass, or kick, first, was the Arrows and that Rugby Canada connection that Bill kind of established, was that an ideal foundation from which to build and develop Rugby Canada moving forward into the future?
I'll run with that again. Yeah, I think it was a good layer for Rugby Canada to build off. You know, back when I started playing with Rugby Canada in 2016, there was something called the Canadian Rugby Championship, the CRC, and that was all the provincials kind of playing, or the provinces playing against each other. So you had like the Prairie Wolf Pack, the Ontario Blues, the Atlantic Rock, and the BC Bears. And that was the highest level of domestic rugby in the country. And that's kind of what you aspired to play for, playing for your, you know, your local club, whether that's, you know, Bonnie Beach in Toronto or like Capilano here in Vancouver or something like that. So there's that layer there, and that kind of faded out. I want to say around 2018, it kind of got too expensive to continue. So with the Arrows coming in around when that faded out, it added that layer of professionalism back in, another stepping stone, if you'll say, to lead into the national team. So I think the connection there and the ability for, you know, Kingsley and the coaches and, you know, Michael Deasy, the S&C with Rugby Canada, to kind of connect and work with Toronto was good. And I think it was really on the start to building something great and building a great connection. It's unfortunate to see it go the way it did.
Yeah, and I got to ask, just as a follow-up, was a little bit of a challenge. We know, you know, we talked off camera about you being in BC right now. And of course, that's, you know, Langford is in British Columbia, and that's where Rugby Canada is based. You know, did it make it difficult with, you know, Langford being out on the west coast of Canada and then Toronto being kind of in the middle east coast, or is that a good balance?
I think it's a good thing. You know, the Pacific Pride was starting to pick up as well around the time in 2020, 2021. So I think the more rugby at a high level, the more professionalism in terms of like strength conditioning, nutrition, good habits you can get into people at that amateur stage, the better it is. You know, I didn't really have a lot of that coming through when I was, you know, younger and first few years of university. So I think it was starting to build a lot of layers. And it also picked up guys who couldn't move towards the island, right? And if they had to stay in Toronto, maybe they could play in the academy for the Arrows and build their way into the main team, or at least give them another outlet instead of, you know, you had to pick everything up and move to the island, which I actually did in my career as well.
Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense, right? You know, and I mean, I think it's a great point to the fact that the Arrows Academy provided that pathway if somebody was, you know, based on the East Coast and didn't have the ability to move to the West Coast, as some guys do, like yourself. So really interesting kind of how you would address that question, because I think it's important for, especially for American viewers, to know and understand how that those connections were made. So next up, and I want to follow up a little bit and touch upon a tough one here. Obviously, the Arrows and their players have gone through some of the most difficult times of any team in the MLR. And it's just tough things were thrown at the Toronto Arrows. So run, pass, or kick, how tough was it for that team in 2021? To experience.
It cut out a second there, but I think, it cut out.
So I was asking. Yeah, my apologies. So the question is, run, pass, kick, how tough was it for that 2021 team to experience a post-COVID season, you know, playing out of Atlanta?
I'll run with it again. It was very tough. It's probably the toughest year of rugby for a lot of guys in a lot of different ways. To start, you know, we had a really good year. The year before that, we think we were 4-1 on the road. We were looking really handy, and then COVID hit and kind of took us out of a good flow. And we did end up losing a few guys from that team, but we kept a good core group of guys into that next year. Training even in that preseason was difficult in a dome, you know, testing for COVID kind of every day, those kind of things, staying away from family and friends to just try and stay in your own bubble. And then even when we got down there, being away from, you know, the loved ones, it was almost like a tour that just never ended. It was like 4 or 5 months of tour. You know, we did get only a meal a day when we were training. And then we had to kind of figure out some stuff on our own in terms of, you know, you're ordering in. There were a few barbecues and ways to cook, but it's tough to do that with 30 guys. And then you better hope you had a good roommate because you're sleeping a few feet from them every night.
Yeah. And you hope they don't snore or have bad gas, because if you do, you're in trouble, right?
Very much so.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. I think I'm glad you pointed out, because I was going to bring it up, just how good you guys were playing as a group in 2020 before the shutdown, right? 4-1. You guys, I mean, really, the Arrows looked like the team to beat in 2020, and it is really a shame. Aside from all the other stuff, I mean, just in rugby terms, MLR terms, it's just such a shame we couldn't have seen that, you know, that season materialize and see how good the Arrows really could have done over the course of 16 games.
100%. It's kind of those unanswered questions that unfortunately you'll never get the answer to.
Right. We can only dream and speculate, right?
Exactly.
So with Bill's unfortunate and sad passing, and I covet a picture I have of interviewing Bill here in Chicago from the Hounds' first season. It's one that I'll always cherish because he was a special and very genuine man. Were you, once he passed and news kind of spread of that sad event, and you kind of began to think about the layers of impact, right? You're always saddened by somebody like that's passing. And then you begin to think about, okay, what is going to be the ripple effect of this? Rumpass Creek, were you preparing yourself for a worst case scenario with respect to the Arrows? Kind of what were you going through, and what were some of the lads going through after, you know, the dust began to settle?
I'll run with that again. Yeah, it's tough. My first thoughts immediately went to, you know, Bill's family, Bill's friends. It's a horrible thing to have to lose a loved one like that, especially so sudden. And my heart just felt for them. I didn't even really consider the rugby stuff probably for the first little bit there. Secondly, I then went to, you know, the staff, the support staff. Rugby's a tough gig to get a job in as a player, and I think an even tougher gig to get a job in, you know, as a management person, especially in North America. And I know at least in the back of my mind, there was options in the MLR if things didn't work out. But for some of those people, they can't move out of country to, you know, to follow that job. They worked out perfectly that I was in Toronto. So I really felt for, you know, the managers, the ticket sales, all the admin, the GMs, all that kind of stuff. And then for the boys, in the last bit, we were all, you know, kind of bought in. We were told the season was good to go ahead, and they were just kind of putting the last pieces together. They're still finding a new head coach. And, you know, it was going to be a season to honor Bill, but unfortunately, I think when it came down to the numbers, we weren't up to scratch, and we had to, you know, put it on the back burner. I always do hear rumors that Toronto's, you know, fighting for a way back in, and hopefully that happens sometime soon. But yeah, I'd say firstly, I just thought about, you know, Bill's family, Bill's friends, and just the effect there.
Yeah, 100%. And I think you bring up a great point. Just all the other, you know, support staff. It's like you said, it's not easy to get a job in rugby, let, you know, or sports, let alone rugby. So for people to have to make that adjustment and have their lives thrown into, you know, kilter or out of kilter, I should say, it's really tough. So I got to ask then, you know, run past kick. What were some of the biggest challenges that you or your teammates faced as, you know, that impending announcement came that there was going to be a shutdown of the Toronto Arrows, at least in the MLR format? You know, how did you guys deal with that? Were there a lot of phone calls back and forth, a lot of discussions between the lads And, you know, I think, and I'm throwing a lot at in this question, but, you know, feel free to answer it however, you know, whatever makes you feel comfortable, you know. And I think one of the big things is in the supplemental draft, you know, were there talks about, did you have some control about where you might go next?
I'll run with it. There was like tons of conversations going on. It obviously trickled, I think, through the rumor mill a little before management wanted it to. I was actually just post Rugby Canada tour in November. I got engaged the day before I heard, and I was out to dinner with my fiance Angie. We were having a nice steak dinner to celebrate, and I got a text from the GM at the time, Tim Matthews, just asking if we could speak. And I hadn't finalized my contract. It's something that I've kind of always done, is sign 1 year contracts in the MLR just to work it out. And, you know, the league's a little bit volatile in some ways, so it's nice to have some of that freedom. But he was texting me asking if we could speak. I haven't spoken to him in a while. So I thought, oh yeah, I might as well. I had a feeling I had to take the call, and stepped outside, and he let me know the team was folding and they were going to do a team call soon. And it was basically for the next 24 hours, just trying to get in contact with as many guys as possible, tell them what's going on, tell them when the team call is, and try to answer any questions the best I could. When it came to that expansion draft or that supplement draft, I kind of was in good fortune, being the fact that I had been in the league for a long enough time where I had a little bit of free agency in terms of no one owning my rights at that time. And because I hadn't signed a multi-year deal, I had freedom of movement as well. So I had a little bit of a leg up in terms of being able to talk to teams and basically decide whether or not I would be included in that draft. For other guys, it was unfortunate that they didn't have that option. And then I really felt for our international guys who had committed to the year. Not only have they given up probably options, you know, Pro League de, maybe Championship Rugby, something like that, to sign in the MLR, but the teams, you know, when you're making a team in the MLR, and I'm not a GM, I would hope someone would agree with me, you'd probably look to fill those foreigner spots quite early and get names you want in, get them signed, get them done way before November, December, so you're not panicking and looking for someone to fill an international spot. So I think a lot of them were left out in the cold just because of the makeup of the teams and the fact that, you know, they're competing with guys that they've already earmarked months earlier.
Yeah, and added to the fact, I think, you know, some people forget, I think you brought up some great points. I mean, that just, it's inside analysis. That's what we're looking for here, just to give people a perspective that they don't necessarily get just anywhere, and adding that layer, talking about some of those guys on Rugby Canada and who were also in Toronto Arrows, who had signed contracts, who had given up the opportunity to maybe play over in Europe, and now we're almost at a loss because they were already starting their season. MLR hadn't started yet. They had signed their contract. And then you add into the fact that many of those European clubs, there's less money there. And so a lot of those contracts were cut out too, which added to the difficulty. It was really very unfortunate. Obviously it came to Chicago, and we're going to talk a little bit about that because I was damn glad to see you come here. You're one of those guys, I always say, you're one of those guys you hate to play against, but you love having them on your team. So we'll get into that in a bit. But before we do, we got to hear a word from our sponsors, because we know that Rugby Now, who powers Shop MLR, is a great supporter of the Rugby Rant podcast. And they have some great stuff, great gear options happening now. The city jerseys are available. And I've got a city jersey right here, as a matter of fact. I've got none other than Brad Tucker's city jersey. I think Lucas Rumball was already taken. But I got Tux. I always tease my family. I name my dog after him. So I actually have a hound named Tucker. Nevertheless, city kits are on sale. I think $100. Regular Kappa kits are on sale for $100. And if you use code MLR stats from James Dealey, you can get yourself 15% off. So don't forget to drop that. We're going to hear from that sponsor, Rugby Now, here, who powers Shop MLR. in just a moment. There we go.
When we pick up the ball, we also pick up a legacy. A legacy that stretches beyond your current team. A legacy built on the backs of those who came before you with hard work. And for those who will come after you, we promise it won't be easy. But we'll be there, supporting you on and off the field.
All right. Thanks again to Shop MLR, which is powered by Rugby Now. So let's get back to the man of the hour, Lucas Rumbaugh. We're going to have a little fun here because we have the quick tap segment. It's an opportunity to not put those high pressure questions on our guests. We want to have a little fun with them, let you, the fans, get to know them a little bit better. So first of all, I got to ask, when is your wedding going to be? I'm just curious, when is this all going to shake out?
I think we finally agreed on a date next September.
So, okay.
Lots of time still to plan and out of the MLR season. So keep lots of people happy.
Yep. Lots of time fits in between the international windows there. Real convenient. You know, you don't have to worry if you have a busted nose or anything else. A little bit of time for it, T-Hill. That's good news. Because we'd hate to see you wear that Hannibal Lecter mask when you're at the altar taking your vows. Long-standing fans will know what the hell I'm talking about. All right, here's how it works with the quick tap. No pass, no kick, all run. He has to pick one or the other. So we're going to throw a few at him, and I'm going to really test his loyalties, if you will, on this one. So with the first one, better kit, arrows or hounds?
Ooh, hounds. Go with the hounds.
Nice. All right, that's really – so far you're batting 1,000 in my book. All right. So with that being said, better jersey from the Hounds, home, away, or city?
Ooh, I like the cities. I really did like the cities. They are very nice.
Yeah. I tried getting a pair of shorts, but from what I understand, those mysteriously,
I don't know where those went. They just, I definitely put mine in the wash. So.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, the city kit's sweet as, you know. All right. Here we go. We're going to test you here. We're going to turn up that gas on that fireplace there. Better cuisine, poutine or Chicago style hot dog?
I'm sorry. I have to stick to my roots of the poutine. I have to.
Okay. All right. We'll let it pass. Gravy on
fries. Cheese, fries. Yeah. Like it is tough to beat.
It is tough to beat. Until the next morning. All right. Of course, hot dog with jardiniere on it probably isn't much better in the morning. Or if you have a roommate sleeping in the bed next to you while you're on a major tour.
Lose.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Better lakefront, Toronto or Chicago?
Chicago. Toronto doesn't use their lakefront very well, in my opinion. If any of Toronto city councilors are listening, please go to Chicago, see how they use it.
So you're saying the Chicago doesn't use it very well, or they do?
They use it very well, I think, compared to Toronto, at least. There's a lot going on. The Riverwalk's great. Like there's a lot more going on, I found, in Chicago's kind of lakefront area than there is in Toronto.
So just off the cuff, what did you like to do the most? Like, let's say you had a weekend off. It's a bye week. You're still got to be in town. You and your fiance are hanging out. You could do anything downtown Chicago. What was your go-to fun?
Probably go down to the Riverwalk, walk around. If there's a spot to grab a beer and just enjoy in the sun, that would be it.
Nice. There you go. All right, let's see. Last one here so far. You're betting about 750, so I'm liking these odds. Sorry, folks, technical difficulties. I'm using a different computer. Either that or the Canadian government is trying to shut me down. Or shut Lucas down, maybe.
Could be.
All right, ready? And I, I might know the answer to this one already, but okay. Better baseball experience, the Blue Jays or the Cubs?
Oh, that is tough. I've had some good times at Jays games. I'm going to have to stick with my hometown Jays. I've just been there too many times. I've been to too many Jays games, only a few Cubs games. So, I'll have to go with the Jays. Over a probably been there more, experienced more.
Got you. Well, yeah, you're tapping into those fond memories you've had with hanging out with your mates and whatnot and taking it a good ball game. So I like that. Plus, you know, up there in Toronto, you could probably drink at 18. So you've had a few more.
You definitely have a few more earlier on there. Let's say.
Not that you partake in any of that stuff.
No, never.
So, you know, it's interesting. And by the way, if you come back to Chicago, we'll tap into that a little bit. If you come back to Chicago, what you got to try out is my wife and I and our younger son just did this. It's called, it's on my phone. Anyway, it's this app that you can actually download the app. You can share it with friends and everybody. If you have the same group, you can all be in the same group. And it's a scavenger hunt. And they have them in every city. Okay. And they're like $13 or $14 a person. And it was like 2 hours. So we did a Wrigleyville tour. It was outstanding. You know, hit Wrigleyville. We only walked like a mile, but it like took 2 hours and we got to know the area. So it was pretty cool for folks when you get into a town you're not familiar with. You got to check it out. And I'll maybe hit the name of that here later.
If you can remember, send it my way.
Yeah, I will. All right, so let's get back at the run, pass, or kick episode. Here we go with the next one. We're going to kind of move on to the most recent experience. You're talking about Chicago, right up there over my shoulder. So as if your last 8 months has not been challenging enough, the Hounds made a coaching change with 3 regular season games left. Run, pass, or kick, was Sam's toughest challenge as a coach trying to manage such a deep roster?
I will run with that. I think, you know, before I had even signed, I looked at the guys that were on the team, and it's probably tough sometimes to manage so many experienced guys and to try and get the best combinations out of, you know, what's there. Because you're almost not that – picking someone is bad or good, but you have to find, you know, kind of the best of a good group. And some guys are hot some weeks, some guys aren't others. So I think finding that balance of taking risk or going with, you know, historically who's a better player would be pretty difficult to manage. I think on that change, it's something I think we needed as a group. It was pretty risky from an organizational point of view, but they, you know, stood up and made that decision, and I think it paid off for them. It might have been the spark that the room needed.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting when something like that happens. It certainly puts everybody on notice. You know, even though obviously players are contracted through the end of the season, it certainly gives you an idea. It has a way of humbling you a little bit, you know, and saying, okay, we got to take it up a notch. A message sent. But you and I talked about it, Priest. Like right at the beginning of the season, I checked in on everybody, and you said, man, this is one of the deepest teams I've ever played with, and the fact that, you know, we can finally actually put out 2 groups of 15 and actually have some play some solid unopposed, you know?
Oh, it's huge. You know, some years with the Arrows, you run into a little bit of injury trouble and you were training 15 against 12 guys and you just don't get much out of that. So to have the ability to run, you know, 8-on-8 in forwards, 15-on-15 in terms of running shapes and things like that, it goes a long way.
100%. So on that note, let me ask, run, pass, or kick, what part or parts of your experience with the Hounds did you enjoy most here in 2024?
I'll kick that to you. We'll see. We'll see what you think I actually enjoyed versus didn't.
Oh, shit. All right.
I was waiting.
I figured you'd kick the last one, and I was ready for it. And now I just think I just might have knocked it on. No, I think I think there's a couple parts that you've enjoyed. I really truly think you've enjoyed playing with this group of players, and there's something to be said, like in Toronto playing for Rugby Canada, while there were international players, there weren't a lot of Americans, if any. And you had a lot of guys that you'd played with in Rugby Canada, which is great. And there's a lot of benefit to that because, of course, you get to develop some, you know, some consistency and some flow with those guys. Right. But there's also value in play. You knock heads internationally against like, you know, Butch or, you know, a guy like McCarthy, or, you know, you get to rile him up at the nine, or, you know, whatever, or Patty Ryan or whatever, you know, you play against some of those guys and you don't get to play with them that much. Having played for the Arrows, you got to play with them now. And so you get to see a different side of them. Like, I'll never forget when my wife and I went down there to NOLA, you know, you had played against Callum, you and Mason had played against Callum Botcher, you know, who of course played with Rugby Canada, and you got to knock heads against that guy. And then you got afterwards to say, well, how you been? How's NOLA? How things going? They're asking you about Chicago. So I think that's one of the fun things that you got to experience perhaps for, you know, probably a rare time in your career, professional career in that regard, is playing with some of those guys that you hated to play against when you play in Rugby Canada. And I also think, you know, Chicago being the city that it is, I'm pretty sure with the lakefront and everything else you talked about, that you and your fiance have really enjoyed getting to know a new city. And it's very similar, I think, in culture, Toronto. You know, it's kind of Midwest. There's a working class value to it. So it's not that foreign. It's familiar enough, but also different. And I think that was a fun piece. And, you know, the last thing is I think one of the things in Chicago with the Hounds that most fans won't understand is how everything you guys had was right there in one place. You know, from S&C to your training table, to your gameplay, to your, you know, practice pitch, to your, you know, to your meetings, to your video analysis, everything was in one location, which makes it much easier on a professional player, unlike in some other places where they're traveling around to try to get each one of those pieces and bring it all together. How did
you're 3 for 3. You ran that back, to be honest. those were spot on. Yeah, the group of guys was amazing. You know, good group of guys to push each other. Guys, again, like you said, I probably haven't interacted with in a more friendly way, a more day-to-day way. So it was great to get to know some characters and some individuals, you know, what they like, what they don't like, how they are off the field. Because they're in rugby, there's guys you play against, you're like, oh, I bet that guy's, you know, the worst or this or that. And you get to know them and they're actually a really good guy. And you're like, you almost hate it because you hate them playing against them so much. The city was unbelievable. The food was great. The outdoor stuff, unbelievable. Like I enjoyed every minute of being there. And then, yeah, having everything at one facility is, it's probably in the minority in terms of the MLR. So for everything to be, you know, you go in, you park your car, you have a walker there, you can leave your boots, you can leave your gym shoes, you can leave all that stuff there. So you pretty much have to bring yourself in the morning and a clean pair of clothes. So to have that, it really is a step up. It really makes things feel as professional as they possibly can be.
100%. I got to ask, because you hit the nail on the head. Who is that one guy where you had kind of a perception of them, right, of how they might be, and then when you got to know them over the course of the season, your perception was totally blown away by what the reality was?
Probably Brad Tucker. I thought he would be a different guy, but we're very similar in kind of what we like to do off the field, how we act, how we talk to each other, those kind of things. So I thought he would just be a completely different guy than what he was, and we found a lot of common ground.
Oh, that's awesome. I love to hear it because, like, well, I got Tuck's jersey behind me. He was one of my, I have several favorite interviews ever done, and you're hitting it. You're hitting all the marks, but he is amongst my top. He and Jake Turnbull are two of my favorite dudes I've had the opportunity to interview, and Tuck's is a gem.
Tuck's a good man. Gem. He is a good man.
So, cool, man. Well, that's good to hear. I'm glad I know my Spidey senses are pretty close to reality. So, all right. So, I got to ask in this next one, because I for the first time in the league has experienced something a little bit unique. I mean, in past seasons, it started real early, and one of the detriments, and you know this more than anybody else, except for maybe Mason, is that, you know, starting in February, it made it really difficult on northern teams, and you had to experience some of those cold weather matches. We only know what that match was like on what a Saturday or Sunday night in the Hounds' first season when the snow is blowing sideways and it's 25 degrees, and you're probably used to that up there from Canada, but you know, it's a little tougher
thick
for us
skin.
As well.
We're thick skin. Yeah. It's good for, it's good for the warmth.
Yeah. Good for the constitution too. So we have that, but then this year they pushed it off about 2.5 to 3 weeks, but then you have to deal with button up against the international window, taking that break in between the international window, which of course you didn't get to take a break. You had to play in, and then you came back and played a playoff match. So, run, pass, or kick, would you rather move the season up those couple weeks and finish prior to the international window and deal with more challenging weather? Or would you rather start in March with that break for the international window, knowing that you're going to get a little better weather, you know, in for your home games and some of those away games?
I'll run with it. For me, it's an easy answer. I'll move the season up. I might be regretting that come a very cold game in late February, early March, but it's been a long year, and I haven't really got too much downtime in terms of just time off. Like, even though the season ended for us a few weeks ago, it was pack up, get back to Toronto quickly for a wedding, and then I flew back to Vancouver on the Monday. I got 4 days off, and I report to camp tomorrow to go for the international stuff in the PNC. So I think moving it up would kind of alleviate those other stresses that come later in the year with everything being so jam-packed together, and it's kind of like go, 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 on to the next thing. So, yeah, I'd move it up.
Yeah, and having had chatted with some of the boys, you know, in that break in between as you guys prepared for that game down in New Orleans, that seems to be the overwhelming sentiment amongst the lads is that, yeah, it's nice to get the time off, but it kind of makes it hard to keep that consistency and flow going. And what's interesting is, as we as fans talk about it, you know, some people said, oh, it's going to suck because it's going to be some cold weather games. What's interesting, I think, as we look forward to 2025 and how the MLR may tackle that issue, is that without Toronto or New York and an exchanging them for Miami and Carolina, you're actually getting two southern teams, and you really only have Chicago and New England, and then Utah. Well, Utah is Utah, but you only really have those two northern climes to deal with. And I think it'll be easier to schedule that early season start.
I completely agree. That should make it a ton easier than having like four cold weather teams to try and move around.
Right. And I just hope the MLR magicians or schedule magicians don't put five games in a row in March in Chicago. You know, what are we going to do?
Could be cold. Wear your long sleeves. You'll be all right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. They better start handing out jackets. Actually, they did. I shouldn't say that. They did. They prepared for it this year, which is cool. So, all right. So, let's move forward a little bit as we talked about international window. It would be remiss if we didn't talk a little bit about Rugby Canada, at least. So, run, pass, or kick, what did you take away from those 2 weeks in which Rugby Canada played both Romania and Scotland?
I'll run with it. It was a good kind of bar setting for us. I think the Scotland game exposed a lot of issues we have when we play tier one teams. You know, they make great decisions based on how you react as a defense, and they made a lot of good scores basically off jamming in, which you can get away with in the MLR, but because of how skilled Scotland was, they were able to pull back or hit front door depending on what we did and carve us up. I think that actually led us really well into that Romania game because we were so good in other areas, set piece and even our own attack, that just had to work a little bit on our defense, understand where we are, you know, where we made mistakes and come at a good Romanian side and have a great game against them. I thought we managed the game quite well and Our set piece was great. Again, our attack was good, and I think our defense stepped up. I was really proud with how the boys went, and you know, it's the first time we beat them since '95. So for us, it's a good way to end the tour and kind of build into this PNC coming up.
So it sounds to me like really it was an ideal kind of experience over those two international matches, right? You get a nice win, one that, if you said, hasn't happened for a while against Romania. And then you also get to test yourself against a tier one and against a team that, you know, again, makes better decisions, you know, is able to muster their defense better, has a better skill set than perhaps what you're used to playing against, right? And you can kind of identify your weaknesses and where you need to improve your game as you start to look forward to the PNC, right?
That's huge. I think for guys, you know, who maybe don't play in the MLR or don't get a lot of time or haven't had many internationals, it's a good kind of eye-open to where you need to be, or at least where you need to strive to be to compete in those games. And sometimes you get comfortable playing in the levels that you are, so it's a good kind of reality check to understand where, you know, the best in the world sit and how hard you have to work to get there.
Yeah, it can be a little bit humbling, I'm sure.
Very, very, especially at the scoreline we had. So.
Yeah. So we got just two questions left. And so for folks at home, I'm just going to put this in Lucas's mind here. We talked a little bit about it pre-production, but if there's something near and dear to his heart, perhaps a former coach, perhaps an organization, a charity or something like that, I'm going to ask him to plug that here at the end and give him an opportunity to put something out there for people that, you know, might want to, might have the same interest or might have the same concerns, you know, about those who are less fortunate or need assistance and help. So we're going to hit that here after our last question, but let's go forward with one of our last two here. Run, pass, or kick. We talked a little bit about Hounds, Rugby Canada, that kind of, you know, the player set there. Which Hounds teammate are you most looking forward to facing in that Pacific Nations Cup? When Rugby Canada faces the Eagles?
Ooh, I'll run with this. That's that is a good one. I would have had to, I want to say Butch, but I'm not sure if he's calling it or not. I don't know what he's up to. So if Butch is involved, he'd be my guy. Close second, I think Luke Carty. He's a big chatterbox, big guy in the room. So I think to see him out there on the field, knowing him a little better, knowing how to maybe get under his skin, I think would be fun and exciting for me to have a go at him out there in late August.
Oh, that's funny. You know, because Karts is kind of a quiet dude. You know, like when I'm watching things behind the scenes in the sheds, in the locker room, in the hallways, right? And then you're saying he gets he's a bit of a chatty Cathy out there on the field, likes to get under people's skin, right? And then when you see him like socially, yeah, he's a totally and completely different character.
He's like the life of the room. So
yeah,
like he's a great guy to be around. He makes you feel good. If you want to feel bad about yourself, go hang out with Luke Carty. You'll have a great time.
Yeah. Oh, he's a good time. We were out a little bit and he's like, listen, you got 30 seconds and then you're done talking rugby and we're going to talk about something completely, completely else. And then he went on for about 5 minutes about, you know, he has a whole list of names in his phone. You know about this list. You know where I'm going.
Yeah. Can't be mentioned. And he brings out that timer very quick. So if you don't want to talk rugby at all, he does rant, but then he goes on his own rant. So
yeah.
Just don't get him going. And he'll be all right.
And then he pulls out his list of dog names. When he gets a dog, what kind of dog, you know, what with dog names? And it's a list that, I mean, the guy's got to have a farm because he's going to have so many dogs with all the different names he presented to me.
He likes a list. He does like a list.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, that's a good one. I like that one. All right. Last question, Lucas. We're going to put you to the test with this last one. It's interesting that you mentioned one-year contracts is what you typically sign, because I've got to ask, as a Hounds fan, I got to know, run, pass, or kick, will we see Lucas Rumball back in a Hounds jersey in 2025?
I'll run with it. I won't be afraid to run with this one. I would like to be. I'm talking through it now with my fiance and seeing how things work for me. And in terms of off field, it has been a long year, and I haven't seen a lot of home. So I would say I'm leaning towards it favorably.
That good.
Makes you feel any better.
It does make me feel much better. So good to know. I'll be glad to see it. And, you know, I, of course, will be looking forward to seeing you, hopefully seeing you again with. Hopefully it's in a Chicago Hounds jersey.
Nice green.
It might be in another jersey. We'll still catch up, but it was an absolute pleasure, mate. But before we go away, I want to give you the floor to talk about the, you know, that organization. Maybe it's a charity or somebody that's really been important in your life. Give them a plug and do it.
I'm going to plug my fiance. Like I said, it's been a long year and she puts up with a lot. So plugging Angie Travloss. Miss you this year. It's been tough, but excited to be back with you in the summer and the fall here. And I want to give a shout out to her business, Bloom Physiotherapy out here in Vancouver. They do pelvic floor. So lots of women's health, pregnancy, postpartum, all those kind of good things. It's an up and coming field that I think is probably not been paid attention to enough in years past. So again, that's my fiance Angie and her business, Bloom Physiotherapy.
Mate, I got to tell you, I didn't know that one was coming, but I will tell you, and let's plug it again. Bloom Physiotherapy.
In Vancouver, yeah.
In Vancouver. An important, important service for women. Mm-hmm. Just in what I know, pelvic floor, they're very uncommon, mm-hmm. but the work that they do is vitally important to women's health. So, Angie, I'm throwing a shout out to you, too. Thank you so much for helping women that need you. Because it is incredible work that you're doing. So kudos to her, a chapeau, tip of the cap, if you will, because that's God's work right there. I appreciate her and appreciate what she's doing. So,
thank you.
So with that, folks, this has been an awesome, we're going on an hour almost with Lucas Rumbaugh. It's been a lot of fun. I hope he's enjoyed it. And I hope. Good. Good. And I hope fans have enjoyed it. But, you know, we're going to keep coming at you with the rant episodes and more RPKs. Now that the season's wound down, folks, I'm going to try to get some folks in here. One of the next ones to look for is none other than my guy, Devin Short, who had some things happen in the off season, health wise that I think it's important people are aware of. And just how much of a comeback he made this season getting into that final. So look for that one. And we're going to be coming at you with more RPKs throughout the post-MLR season. We go into the internationals. And with that, Lucas, I want to, again, thank you. I want to wish you good luck in the internationals. Of course, good health. I hope that the Eagles get one up on Rugby Canada, but that's, of course, my own bias, mate. But nevertheless, I wish you well. And I wish Angie well, and good luck planning for September of 2025, right?
Yes, correct. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to be on. I hopefully can get back on at some point and talk some more rugby with you.
100%. Well, I know you got other things going on. I'd ask you to come back for the draft show we've got in a couple of weeks, but you're busy planning a wedding, so I won't bore you with all that. But that being said, we will have a draft show, folks. So sit tight and watch for that. As soon as we know more about the draft, we'll let you know. I might have to hit up Lucas to ask him a little bit about some of those young guys that might be in Rugby Canada's sphere that are coming out of the university and might be in the draft. So, I might hit you up on the socials, Lucas.
I could give you some tips. I could give you the inside track there.
Appreciate that, mate. All right. Thank you very much, folks. It's a pleasure having you guys. And again, we do it to grow rugby one fan at a time. And with that, we'll see you all at the next.
you've got enough on your plate. Mundane meals shouldn't be one of them. Get an endless variety of the freshest, best-tasting food from award-winning chefs delivered to your door with Cook Unity, all at a fraction of the cost and time you're spending now. Cook Unity offers hundreds of meals prepared by their roster of all-star chefs. Simply choose from their innovative variety or let them surprise you. Menus are updated weekly, and new chefs are always joining the team, so you'll have fun discovering new favorites while avoiding the dreaded dinner rut. No cleanup or meal planning. Just easy and effortless meals delivered fully cooked that heat up in as little as 5 minutes. Speaking of easy, Cook Unity is flexible and commitment-free. Skip deliveries, pause, or cancel anytime. Take a load off and leave your meal prep to Cook Unity. Affordable food crafted by award-winning chefs, delivered straight to your door. Go to cookunity.com/podcast or enter code podcast before checkout for 50% off your first week.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.